So we're in chapter 22 of the story. We have been waiting a long time going through the Old Testament for today. We're celebrating Christmas in March. That's what I said. Amen. We need another Christmas in March. It's like you go back to C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, and you remember the phrase there? It's winter all the time and no Christmas. We are celebrating Christmas right here and now. Today, we're celebrating the coming of our Savior. And what a better way to kind of celebrate through this Lenten period, headed up to Easter, by diving in and covering really the whole of the New Testament in this time. So if you're not plugged in and reading the story and reading along, there's only a third left. So join with us now. If you haven't joined, there's books available that you can buy from us and just get caught up. It really has changed the way that we do Sunday mornings, because you're coming prepared with something, to hear something that you've been looking at all week long, and that makes a difference. It makes a difference. The clip that I'm going to show you, as I thought about how are we going to celebrate Jesus, the coming of Jesus. And in the very beginning of chapter 22, they are quoting from John chapter 1. And the clip that we're going to show is John, the writer of the book of John, also the writer, he's here in the clip on the island of Patmos, and he wrote Revelation from there. Got the revelation of the end of the story there. And I thought it was fitting because it frames where we're at in the story. So this is a clip from the movie Son of God.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was there in paradise with Adam and Eve. There with Noah in the great flood. He was there with Abraham when he was chosen.
Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations.
He was there when Moses led our people out of Egypt.
I will be with you.
Lord! God is with us!
In the struggle for the promised land, he was always by our side.
Jerusalem, now you home.
He was the light, shining in the darkness. Then, he came into the world.
A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Oh.
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
I am John, and I was one of his followers. After what I saw, how could I not be?
Boy, every time I watch that clip, I'm moved. I love how they depict the wise men bowing down to the king. And they were able to see and feel the weight of the Messiah coming. And I'd like for us this morning just to take a space here. The soulish part of us. The soul is the command center of the heart and the mind and how we see the world and the decisions that we make. And the soul longs for something. If we were to sit and be quiet, our soul would long to attach to something. That longing is the Messiah. That longing is to be restored to what God made us for. And so as we see that depiction of the coming Messiah, I just would ask that we take a few moments here just to have some space to feel the gravity of the coming Messiah. I'll read from John chapter 1, 1 through 3 again. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made." This scripture is very, very powerful. It's easy to understand, but at the same time, it's powerful because it tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word, the very Word that created the heavens and the earth, the very Word that created the land, the seas, the animals. And then He created His most prized creation, humanity. And He spoke life. There was power in that Word. And John is taking us back. No Bible reader could see this phrase of "in the beginning" and not think at once the start in Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and whatever else John is going to tell us, he wants us to see that his book has the story of God and of the world, not just a story of one character in one place at a time. This book is about the Creator God acting in a new way within His much-loved creation. It is about the way in which the long story began in Genesis and reached the climax of the Creator creating within His creation. If we go back to Genesis 1 and 2, we really get a picture of who we are, who God is. And then out of that, when we started this series, I put up some roles. These are roles that God plays and roles that we play. This is how it was set up in the beginning. So God, His role is the source and provider. He provided and He spoke in and created something out of nothing. Man is to be dependent on that. God provides, We depend on that. God is in control. By his control, he was able to create time and space. And man, our role is to yield to his control and control ourselves. But as we yield to his authority, he gives us authority. We know that in the cultural mandate. He says, go, rule over the fish of the sea. Rule. Reproduce yourselves. Create. I'm giving you all this freedom as long as you're submitted to me being the authority in that. And then we go on to the next here. God is to be the only judge of good and evil. He's the only one that can handle that. And so when there was a tree, the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden here, he was saying, don't eat of this, but I'm going to give you a choice. I'm not going to make your choice for you, but don't eat of it. I'm the only one that can be this judge. Man is to experience life, good life. It's called the blessed life. Blessing, we think of blessing, it's just kind of like, God bless you. And it becomes kind of a trite word. But blessing, what blessing actually means is to put good into someone else or something else. So when God blesses us, that was his whole idea. Is he was going to put his good, the Trinity. They had the perfect community. They had perfect love, and they were going to put that into us as long as the roles stayed as they should. Bless us as we glorify and magnify him in this great creation that he made that was very good. God made the rules, and man's role is to obey the rules. There was only one. There was only one rule at that time. And as long as we stayed in that framework, then life would be how it should be. But we know in Genesis chapter 3, and I talk about this all the time because I think it gives us a framework on how we're operating. Genesis chapter 3, all this fell apart. The choice of Adam and Eve, the choice to take the knowledge of good and evil, put them as judge, put them as God, and everything unraveled. Sin separated man from God, and it left us with a nature, a bent towards sin, a bent towards not doing life the way God set up. It's ingrained in us. And because of that, our soul, which is made up as a kind of a command center of how you think, your heart, your decisions that you make, your will, it gets ruined. It gets disordered and broken at deep levels and fractured, and darkness becomes a part of it. And then you end up in a place where you try to fill it with all kinds of different things. The Israelites filled it with idols, and we fill it with addiction and busyness and all kinds of things. But what our soul needs are the roles to be restored. Eden to be restored. I'll put it like this. There's some concentric circles here. So when God created heaven and earth, we're together in Eden. That's why it was paradise. They were together. And then when sin entered in, when Adam and Eve took that, sin separated God and man. It separated heaven and earth. They were made to head out of Eden. And then there was this, like, these cherubim with these big swords that you can't get back in to access the tree of life. There's separation. We're not allowed back in. I heard this once, that everybody wants a good pastor who will lead them past the guards with the flaming swords and into the Garden of Eden, where they can take a bite of eternal life and have everything put back together at no or little cost to themselves. Ain't gonna happen. I'm not gonna lead you there. But that's what the story's all about, is that there is one that can. There is one that can. No human being can do it unless they're a human being that is heaven and earth combined, that's fully man, fully God. So we have a problem. We have a ruined soul, everybody in here. Now, our culture tries to say that people are good, that people are essentially good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we were created good and that all was lost. And so, therefore, people have a sin nature, and they need to be rescued from that. They need to be saved, or else why would there be a Messiah that would need to come to save if we're just essentially good? This is what John is pointing us to. And it's deep waters. It really is. He spoke a word and created. It's very, very powerful. Very powerful word. And the Lord spoke many other times, even after Eden. When I speak, it is, in a sense, part of me. When I speak here, in front of you, it comes from my soul. It comes from who I am. It also comes from God's word. And somehow we have services where we get to hear from God, but through a person like me. I'm flawed. But somehow God works in despite of our flaws and uses our words. But when God speaks, there's something more significant here. There's something powerful. It's not flawed. It is what it is. When he says, I am who I am. Throughout the Old Testament, God spoke. Even after the fall, he spoke through Abraham. He spoke to him a covenant and a promise that one day he would bless all nations. That he would bless, that he would put his good back into the people that had lost it. Bless, not curse. Through Moses, he gave the law on Mount Sinai. He gave the law. The law is who God is. It's basically those roles. I mean, it's essentially saying set life up to be. Based off the Ten Commandments. That's the designed way. I don't know why this is cutting out, but it might be a battery. I don't know. So essentially, what you have here is I totally lost my place. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get back to it. Lord, just ask that you get us back on track here. The power that you displayed in your coming is overwhelming, and we need to get that today. Pray that you would help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. He speaks through the Old Testament. He speaks in a way that's very clear, and we see this through the whole story. Moses in the law, he teaches us how to live. This is how we live, but we can't do it. And it's proven time and time again. And it's almost like you get tired of it in the Old Testament. It's like, again, they're going to set up idols again. They're going to walk away from God again. Why are they doing this? It's because they can't do it. No human being in here today can do what the law requires because we are ruined. Our soul, because of our sin nature, has been ruined and pulled apart, and it needs to be set right, but only God can do that. He spoke through Joshua to give them a land, judges, kings, and through Saul and David and Solomon, he set up a temple that was been set up as a tabernacle, but a permanent spot. Now, the tabernacle is important because it's the idea that God is claiming stake on this earth, a foothold that one day he would recreate and restore what is lost. And so we have God's presence with us. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel was way before Jesus came, but it's pointing us to Jesus. It's heaven and earth come together. It's where God dwells on earth, and he is claiming stake on this earth. And he says, this is mine, and I will restore it. That's my word. And so we see this temple throughout the Old Testament. And then the prophets come, and they set up idols in the temple, and they push God out of the temple. And then God sends them away. He splits the kingdom, and then he sends the people into exile. And he takes something we look at like, ooh, exile, prison, slavery. But he uses that because what he's doing is he's setting up what's coming next. He's setting up the stage for the coming of the Messiah. And then we see in the video clip, we see that Jesus comes, lives his life. He dies on a cross to settle the sin sacrifice thing, to cover us. And then after he dies 3 days, he raises again, and then he goes and he sits at the right hand of the Father, ascends into heaven, and he sends his Holy Spirit. And from there, the Holy Spirit works through his people as a new dwelling place. And the diaspora, which is the dispersed Jewish nation, all over the world, is now the pockets in which God is going to spread his invisible kingdom and bless all nations with a new restoration plan that actually goes deep down within our soul and restores us from the inside out, and one day be fully restored. So the Old Testament is pointing us to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And Jesus is the temple. He is fully man, fully God, and in him, Jesus is where those two overlap. There. Let's go back to John chapter 1, and it says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. And he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John, like the Old Testament, all was pointing to Jesus. And John came to say, he's coming. He's coming. I'm here to point you to the light that we all need. John chapter 1, 9 through 11 says, the true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. The same light, the same powerful word that was spoken to create the universe is now coming into the world so that he can speak into you and me and in our darkness and the places where our soul needs repaired. The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world, and he was in the world, and through the world, through the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And then John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the one that created came into his creation to restore what was lost, to have new birth. I think that's why he came as a child. That image of new birth. The Word through whom all things are made, the one who contained and contains life and light, the Word challenged the darkness before creation and now challenges the darkness that is found tragically within creation itself. The Word is bringing into being a new creation in which God says once more, let there be light. My story, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. There were choices that I made when I was in high school. places where my sin played itself out in a lot of ways. And I chose not to follow God's rules and God's way because I was incapable. But made decisions that had consequences, that in effect ruined my soul. The way I thought about God, the way I thought about myself, the way I thought about things around me. There was a brokenness that was deep within me that I couldn't fix. Flash forward, that was in high school. That's when I made my decision to allow Christ to come in. The same Jesus that created the universe. I invited him into my life to say, will you start to recreate me? I was in high school, so I really couldn't put words on it like that. But will you create my soul? Will you bring new life to those dark, dead parts in me? And in the process of that, years later, I'm married. We had tried to get pregnant for 4 years, tried everything possible, everything medically speaking possible, and waited and waited and waited and nothing. And when that happened, it was kind of in the face of my parents dying, not being able to move my family forward, there was a sense of loss there, like, this is my fault. These are the consequences playing out in my life. Now, whether that was true or not, that's what I was feeling in my brokenness. And that was the time when I feel like God blessed me when I didn't deserve it. He came in and he created new life in me. Deep, deep, dark wounds. He shined the light into that. And just when I thought there was no hope of ever having my own children, that's when we found out that we were pregnant with Davy. No medicine, no, just out of the blue. But the fact of the matter is, and people have said to me, well, you just relaxed. It's when you give up, you get, relaxed. No, that's not it, because there was too much playing here, at stake here. There was too much going on in my soul. There were too many dates. There were too many different avenues involved here to know that God blessed. He put good in for the purpose of restoring. I have 4 kids now. I'm not saying that that happens in everybody's life, but out of darkness, out of brokenness, God is in the business of restoring and bringing new life. And he shows us in unique ways. That was just the unique way that he showed me that his grace is upon me. Well, I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve to be a parent. But somehow, some way, God said, I've forgiven you, and I'm going to restore you. And he's put people in my life that have walked through those wounds and that pain and have been God's Spirit for me, the body of Christ, experiencing viscerally a person that comes alongside and says, I'm going to help walk you through that restoration process. See, salvation, that's just the start. God wants to restore. And so he sent the creator of the universe into our world so that he can recreate in you with the same power that he created the whole universe. That's why we celebrate the coming. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Jesus is here. Jesus is here. So I've experienced personally how he's restored my damaged soul. And there are still parts of that. This is a lifelong process. There are still parts of that, but there is new life in me that wasn't in there before, and I couldn't do it on my own. I needed someone to intervene, someone with more power, and that someone is Jesus. We all have a soul that needs to be repaired. We all have a soul that needs to be renewed and restored. And a light shines into the dark areas of our ruined soul, and Jesus, the Creator, has come to bring new in your life with grace and truth. And that grace is that He fulfills the law. He fulfills the law for you and in you. And He also gives you grace that you don't deserve. Relationship, connection. He gives us the body. This is a grace. This is great. This is God's grace. Look to your neighbor and say, you are part of God's grace in my life. I want to end with these two things. One is you may have come here this morning who Jesus is or have ever invited Him into your life to restore your soul. And if you're that person, then I would ask today, what would it be like to invite Him in to begin that process? That restoring. You're asking the same Creator that created the heavens and the earth with all that power to come in and be with us. The second is, I want you to just remember when it was that God has moved into your life. When that time was where you said, yes, come in and begin that restoring of my soul. Remember it. And celebrate it. Celebrate it often, but celebrate it today. It was a significant moment. So that's what I would like to do next. This verse says it. Yet to all who did receive Him. This is in 1 John. This is the end of this. In 12, 13, and 14. Yet to all who did receive Him. To those who believed in His name. When He uses the word all, that's all past, present. That's here today. That's back then when this was written. If you receive Him and believe in His name, that means you're believing that He is the Creator of the universe. He gave the right to become children of God. And that word right is a powerful word. It's not just a flippant word like, yeah, you get to get in. You became a right to be reestablished in relationship with God as His child. Things are made right. Things begin to be restored. Not children born of natural descent, nor human decision or a husband's will, but born of God, reborn. We have the picture of Christ coming into the world. You and I are born again as children. So let's acknowledge our need for a restored soul. Let's allow Jesus to come into the deepest part of our soul. And as we do that, we allow one another to come and walk alongside us in that journey. And then we celebrate the gift. We let out of our life, His life shine. Out of how He's blessed you, you bless others. And like Mike talked about last week, you become a good neighbor when you do that. And you go around blessing people with what God has blessed you with. So pray with me. And if you're in that bracket of never receiving Christ, never following Him, never submitting, surrendering your soul to Him, do that today. Lord, we come to You as broken people, needing Your restoration. Lord, may the same power that You created this universe with come in to our hearts and the deepest parts. and start restoring. Thank you for how you've extended us grace and truth through your Son, Jesus Christ. We receive him into our hearts, surrender our lives to him, and ask him to restore us. Restore us, Jesus. And for those of us, Lord, that have already made that decision, we celebrate what you have done. We celebrate the people you've put around us. We celebrate the life of blessing that you've given us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our consequences and decisions. And that blessing goes far beyond circumstances. Circumstances can be bad, Lord, but you cut through all that straight to our hearts, and we celebrate that. So all those who can celebrate that this morning, I want a big hearty amen that is in a celebratory amen. Are you ready? And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Let's do it one more time. All God's children said, amen.